Previously on Steambox Versus, Bruce Leroy, the Last Dragon, shared the glow. The Iron Sheik broke backs and made us humble. Michio Kaku showed us how to find dark matter. Samus and Megarad led a rap battle for the ages, and we plunged into virtual reality in Ready Player One. Will Steambox make it back to Ghibli in Japan? Will the Boston Celtics dunk on us? Will the Dragon Ball Z narrator ever join the crew? Stay tuned and find out on Steambox Versus.
Oh, I know you bet.
All right, this is Roberto. We are back at Young Voices. Normally, the Steambox Versus podcast, but right now it's Steambox Versus Young Voices. Young Voices in the house. Please get your energy together and say what's up to the world.
What's up?
I'm not even leading off right now. I'm going to hand it off to Peter because Peter has some questions right off the bat.
Oh, so tell us about Las Vegas. How was that trip?
Mainly. Okay, the trip was really nice. It was my first time going on a plane. We talked about a lot of stuff. I guess that's what he was coming for, me being wild in middle school. But I just realized what he was talking about. I was a little wild in middle school. But
I was also there when you were in middle school because I am that old.
Yeah, but you've seen me once.
I've seen you more than once.
Right?
I was there like all of them.
I don't remember. There was like one time I was on the podcast that I really remember. It was just sushi and soccer.
We were talking about sushi. I fed everybody sushi. Yeah. We were talking about soccer.
That was the only time I remember.
Okay, so we stayed in Vegas this year, not back in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
What was the place like?
The place was... It was... I don't know how to explain it, but it was... It, like, brought me to a different, like, viewpoint when I got there. Because, like, immediately there's, like, differences, but we're in the same country. So it was, like... I don't know how to explain it, but...
What was the biggest difference?
The biggest difference was, like, the ads around in Vegas. Like, also, the arcades. The casinos. Like, the casino culture there is insane, because once you go in the airport, just see a bunch of casinos, and you're not actually allowed to touch them if you're under the age of 21, right? Under the age of 21. So it's just like, why do they even have this here? Like, but also the ads there were kind of scary, like the sex trafficking ads, child abuse. And when I was talking to the other kids and their stories about them having like friends that are even missing, some schools that got shot up around their like area, people that they knew that died, and it was, like, really sad, and it brought me to a different viewpoint and how, like, the people here in Rhode Island have, like, fears of just, like, maybe getting harassed by someone on RIPTA versus in Vegas, like, there's a higher chance for them getting, like, sex trafficked, kidnapped, or more worse things. I know that, like, those things they're existing here, but there's a way less percentage here than in Vegas.
That was really sad for me.
Yeah.
It was also really sad for me that because it's such an adult playground town, Sin City, around the clock when they're walking to school, from school, it doesn't matter if it's the morning or the afternoon, they are actively worried about drunk drivers because there are drunk driving problems all around the clock.
Yeah.
Now, we have drunk driving here, and we know about sex trafficking, but like they've all seen it regularly, and I thought that was wild. Did you make friends?
Yes, we have a group chat right now, and we're talking to them. So
what do you talk about? I'm not in that group chat.
We barely talk, but like, it's one of their birthday today. Shout out to Caesar. It's your birthday.
Shout out to Caesar.
Yes, Caesar's birthday. But we barely talk on there. But like, sometimes we just pop out and just say hi. That's it. But like, I hope. Well, obviously you can't. But I hope like, maybe in the near future that we could get to see them again.
All right. Maybe we can work something out. We'll work on it. I'm gonna Wonder Twins activate with Peter and we're gonna see what we can do. So Can I ask you guys, I told you that we wanted to talk about the educators today, but can I ask you about the after-school experience? You're members of, right now you're on the Steambox podcast. You're all active members of Young Voices, where it seems like you're very happy to be members of Young Voices. We just got off April 1st. We just did the 401 gives. The deal with 401 gives, a lot of the large organizations get paid for 401 gives. The small organizations, we don't get, we get like crumbs, right? And we have to hustle. We have to like, you know, do all this stuff to get probably $1,500 or something like that. Larger organizations are going to get like over $100,000. But Peter and Shonda, the two people I know, because the rest of the organizations, I accuse them of like, you ain't even doing your work. You just all year long, you focus on 401 gives, you get paid for the whole year. So like, what's your organization's mission? But Peter's able to have you guys satisfied as Young Voices students and crush it on 401 gives. How much did you guys raise this year?
$62,000.
What?
$62,000. How much did Steambox raise this year? Zero. I took my ball and went home. I was like, I don't want to do this. So his method got $62,000, but it seems like he didn't stop doing Young Voices programs to focus on 401 gives. How do you do it?
I think it's a mixed strategy, but I think a lot of it goes back to relationships that we've built over time. And also just like including everybody in Young Voices. I think there's right? So like, so we all have a key role, right? So like as the ED, obviously like I'm tasked with like, what's the main strategy? How do we set the goals up and so forth, right? And so we have to work with the board. And so I'm working with the board. Then I'm looking at like, okay, who's our major donors? And how do we convince our major donors that like, look, you can make a sizable investment in Young Voices on this particular day, and that we can take your dollars and make more money from that, right? So like between, so from a timeline, I would say from November to like February, I am really doing that work. And in January, I call my team together. We say like, hey, we need this like a relay. I must get us to the third part of the relay. And then y'all, our 401 gives team would anchor it for us, right? And so so that's what we do. And then I think it's about just delegation, right? Like I trust my team to be the best that they can be. And so we have youth fundraise for us, right? Who are like, I'm not saying to the youth being like, hey, you need to fundraise for us. We're saying, hey, there's an opportunity to fundraise. Who wants to step up? We have our staff internally take leadership role. So when we say like a team captain, right, that's what we're calling like a youth team captain, a staff team captain. When we select a staff person to be the team captain, it's no longer we strip everybody's title for this particular event. And you're saying, so like, for example, if you're the team captain, you tell me, I'm not your ED in this role. You tell me what I need to do so that the staff can reach our goals, right? So if you've got like, hey, you need to identify 10 donors, you need to, that's what I have to do, right? And then our board has to make 100% commitment. And then we need to bring in folks from our community. And I think collectively, all of that together helps us, right? So we've been very lucky also. I think luck is also part of it. You always have, like, I always recommend people get somebody that, or collective group of people to give you a match. Because if somebody can give you or collectively say, hey, we have a $20,000 match, now you can take $20,000 and say, we're going to make this $40,000, right? Because now it's easy to pitch that to people. And, you know, shout out to Arise. Want to give them, I think they are by far the best. They embody the true meaning of 401 gives. Grassroots, peer-to-peer. And they make it accessible to everybody. And that's the beautiful thing about Arise and their support. I also, from just a work, like he's like kind of like a scapegoat for me too. It's just like, I want to just do all my fundraising in one day. And that's why I like 401 gives, because otherwise it makes it more work for me to being like, I have to raise money from January to June. That's a lot, right? So it's nice to be able to say, hey, in one day, we can get to 50% of our fundraising goal for the whole year.
I'm going to take that. You can call me lazy about that, but like, I would rather put in that effort for one day. And now I can spend the time connecting with our supporters more intentionally about like our program and really talking to them about like how we're doing our programs. What's the vision? What's the priorities? And how are young people, are growing through these opportunities?
Did you guys have a chance to participate in 401 Gives?
Yeah, we made a video.
You made a video? What did you do on the video?
Well, we just said, no, that was after it. But like, you're like, thank you.
Oh, you did a thank you video?
Yeah.
Was it cutesy?
It was awkward. It's just the two at the same time. You're like, yeah, your wrist told me it wasn't going to get under our torso. It was under our torso.
It got under your torso.
Yeah.
I know what you mean by that.
Because, like, I don't know why my head was like, she's like, thank you for giving it a literal gift.
Yarissa, what was the experience like for you, 401 Gives? This is your second or third time with?
Yeah, this is my second time regularly YZ and for fundraising for 401 Gives. It was my first year. I would say like a little bit now like nerve-wracked because I'm not good at asking for money. Like, I don't even ask my mama for money if I am literally. So something where I was like really getting out of my comfort zone. I think this year, I was more comfortable asking, especially because I knew more folks in the community and they knew more about my work. Like, not my work, but the work of Young Voices and the work that we do and like knowing what my role is and kind of seeing it more versus like when I first started, I think I was like probably 6 months into the job.
Yeah.
So everyone was like, you work where now? And now I feel like everyone was able to be like, oh, that's that cool thing you're doing with all the students. That's all the things that you're always talking about. That's great. I can, I could donate or I'll share the word or it's like, oh, it's awesome that you're hitting me up. So I think that's kind of like how it was. But it's still like something that I'm growing into.
Yeah.
Kind of like that part of me that is like the fundraiser, that person who's like comfortable talking about like, hey, like this is all the work we do. And this is how you can support it as someone who is part of the community.
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm like, feel like I'm throwing in.
I do want to say one thing though. Like, what about goals for like 401 Gives? Like, especially because it's like a whole day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is we do all of this work and then actually on the day, we just chill in the office and just watch that. Like, no,
watch it.
Like, because like,
you're the stock market.
Yeah.
The Leonardo DiCaprio.
So, because like, one of the things, like, what I don't want our team to feel like is this pressure of being like, yo, we ain't gonna reach our goals. Like, and then, those micromanaging bosses then become being like, you need to reach out to people. Like, I don't ever want to put any of our members or folks in that situation. And so, like, for me, if we put in the hard yards early, then we're able to then sit back and enjoy our day. And actually, just, like, we're just chilling here. We had people just drop in, it makes it so much easier. And then it was crazy because this year it happened to fall on like a program day and youth just kind of walked in and then they saw the youth were like, look at the other youth donation while we got donating. And it was like, oh man.
I think the coolest part too was just like the energy in the room when we were doing it. Like, hey, does anybody want to hop into like a video and be able to like, just like thank you to all of our donors and the energy and the vibe, everything was just like so much fun. I feel like
that day,
yeah.
Oh, not even was having fun.
I know.
They're just like screaming and stuff.
We were dancing.
No, we were
dancing. And like there was like it became like a mosh pit. Like we were dancing like to emo songs. And when he's like forced to register,
Okay. So listen. I hear you guys. You guys just ended this on good vibes. And I'm the person who wants to point at scrubs who made tons of money on that day and then talk about why that day sucks. But instead of doing that, I'm going to end that off on your good vibes. I know we have a little bit of food. Before we get to the food, we've got to feed the world. The world wants to know stuff from us. Every month, you guys come to them with more information. You guys really hit it out of the park when we had our coming out stories. That was dope. We didn't even publish a podcast last week, and I think we were either two or three in the world in education last week without publishing a podcast because people are still listening to that episode specifically, which is really interesting. That and a new superintendent at Highlander. Do you know her?
Simona?
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
So those were two really popular podcasts. So you guys did great. I actually really felt good about that podcast. I felt like y'all did great. So the question that we need to know right now, y'all are from Rhode Island. Specifically, most of you, I think, are probably from Providence. So I'm going to ask you a double question, and you can answer it however you like. Who's the best teacher you've ever had in your life? Who's the best teacher you have right now? What is it about them?
Okay, my favorite teacher is Miss, I forgot her name, but
wow, you're off to a good start.
Okay, but no, I love it because it was in kindergarten. Imagine kindergarten. It was in third grade. Miss, it's something green. Greenberg, Miss Greenberg. I love her. She introduced me to Hamilton.
Did you say what grade?
Third grade. And yeah, I had Miss Greenberg, and her stories were really nice and cool. And my second favorite teacher.
What school was this?
A Semester. Okay. I don't think she works there anymore.
Miss Greenberg from A Semester.
Miss Greenberg.
She probably doesn't.
Besides Hamilton, give me one more thing. Like, what was dope about her?
Her stories about her family and stuff was fun. The way she'd, like, tell stories. And she, like, also, like, helped me figure out, like, my passion for drawing back then. Well, I still don't draw right now. But I used to want to become, like, a fashion designer when I was younger. And I was making little dresses.
What subject did you say she taught?
It was English.
Okay.
Yeah. That was my favorite teacher. Was it English or
you got math? Art. You got art.
It was math. It was math.
Miss Greenberg was math.
A Semester, it was all of
oh.
So that was just your third grade teacher?
General studies, yeah.
Yeah, okay. General studies,
yep,
yeah.
Yep. Bad. Okay, do you have more?
Yeah, another one. It's either Mr. I don't know his last name. John.
Okay, John.
John from UCAP. John from UCAP, because he's funny.
Just because he's funny?
Yes.
No. He made it fun to be in there.
Yes.
Okay.
And then she would embrace all the bald jokes.
Yes.
Because of all the pieces.
And then he'd be like, no, guys, I really have so much hair. Like, look at the hair I have. And he's still, he's still getting bald out.
But what about Central High School?
There's no, there. Yeah, I forgot his name too. But there's this one teacher first.
You started to say there's no.
There's none, but I remember that in the freshman year, he left the school, but I just don't remember his name. Lily, he would like give us like motivation to work by giving us pizza parties, and I actually had an A in that class.
That works.
That actually.
That motivated.
It actually worked. And the way that he was teaching the students, he would engage with them individually and then all together. And then.
Why is that important?
It's important because that's how we all pass. The reason why he gives us the pizza party is if everyone gets like at least an 80 or 90 on their quizzes.
Mm-hmm.
And we got that pizza party every single time.
So he taught the whole class, but he would also teach you guys individually.
Yes.
So you're also at Central, right? Who's the best educator in the building?
I like Miss
Avramont. Oh, I love her too.
Miss Avramont. You well, hold on. I'm going to go.
They
don't do that cheaters. And just like, oh, this person too. What does Miss Avramont do well?
She teaches, like, she's also, she has ADHD too, so maybe that's why. She's, like, very visual, so, like, the way I learn is, like, very visual as well. So, like, she shows videos, she, like, draws. So, like, while we were learning about the Holocaust, she, like, drew the map of, like, where everything was and how what. The stuff look like
maybe there is a lot of people but I like Miss Avramont. She was nice, and the way she like she talks kind of like a student, so it's easier, but it's funny too.
Who was your best teacher ever?
I can't remember.
Well, was it Messer, UCAP, Central? We'll come back to you.
Wait, I forgot about West Broadway.
Too late. West Broadway is forgettable. Thank you for representing my old school. I'm happy that you're here to represent my old school, and so is Yarissa. Can you tell me about classical? Can you tell me who's the best educator at classical high schools?
If I remember correctly, Miss LeClaire, she's an English teacher who was the best teacher every year.
Miss LeClaire. Okay.
I hear in vibe.
Who is yours? Who have you had at classical that you're like, this person's really good?
Honestly, I don't have any complaints. They're like,
you like all of your teachers.
Yeah.
Has any of them done anything that you were like, oh, this is what's up? This is like what teachers need to be doing.
I feel like I had a thing too where I was like, I love my teachers for different reasons. I think one thing that I appreciated the most, and I always talk about this, was Mr. Kite. And the reason why was because he was the one person, he was one of the few people who like talked to me about it, but like one person who like stopped me while I was trying to be like, oh, here's all my missed work, because my grandfather had just passed. And so like I was just like, here's all my missed work, whatever, let me just catch up. I've been out for a week. And he's just like the first one to be like, you're set. Are you okay? Like, how are you? And like that was really meaningful for me. So I feel like that was really great of that teacher. So I just wanted to uplift this.
That sounds really good. You know, I had lunch with a friend of mine 4 or 5 years ago. He had gone to classical too, and we had never really talked about this, but I told him about a bad experience that I had, because he had a great experience at classical. Mm-hmm. And I said, when I was at the end of the school year, when I handed in my final paper, and sometimes I was the lazy guy who waited and then you did your work at the end. Mm-hmm. When I handed in my final paper for this science class, she was like, you don't talk like this. This can't be you. You fail. Mm-hmm. Boom. And she said, I plagiarized it. And I was like, please tell me where I plagiarized it. Right. Like,
I can show you my notes.
For sure. I would definitely be ChatGPTing stuff right now. Like if I was still in school, no doubt. But like that was my paper.
Yeah.
And it was wild. And when I told my friend that, he knew exactly who I was talking about just by that description. And he said he had her too, and it was similar stuff. And we felt like it was race motivated.
Possibly.
Wait, did you actually fail?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have switched. I would have switched. Oh, I would have switched.
There was what? There's no. What? People don't believe.
Probably.
People don't believe the Puerto Rican boy going up and being like, this was my paper. She says I plagiarized. And they'd be like, well, then you must plagiarize it. You know what I mean?
Was on Google Doc?
No, they didn't have no computer.
Yes, for podcast right then.
He asked me if it was on.
It shows the history.
Everybody knows Google, right? Google was not a thing. It was not invented.
I almost said the old head.
I am from the 1900s. That's where I'm from.
Victorian child.
I would get in trouble. When I was going to classical, I would get in trouble if I missed the horse and carriage that was going up. And it was still written by Ripther. Okay. You're at Hope. Okay.
Yeah.
You're at Hope. I know very little about Hope. I have tons of students at so many of the schools. Not Hope. Okay. Tell me about Hope. Who's the best educator you have at Hope? Percentage, ratio, bad teachers to good teachers. Like teachers who make you feel good about yourself and like you're doing okay, and teachers who make you feel bad just by being present. Not because you're lazy or doing bad work or anything, but teachers who generally make us feel bad. What would the ratio be of bad to good teachers? Do you think, is it like 50-50? Is it 75% of my teachers are good, 25%, you know, need work? Is it, what's the ratio?
This year, not that much teachers are that rude. I'll say 2 out of 5 classes.
2 out of 5 need improvement.
They know who you know who you are. You know who you are.
I was also going to say 2 out of 5, like 2 of them are good out of like 5 classes.
Oh, you're saying 2 good
yeah.
out of 5 teachers. So 40% of our teachers are good.
Well, I said there. I do have my anatomy teacher. Isn't that like 35%, Mister?
2 out of 5.
See, Mister, 2 out of 5. Isn't that 35%?
Who's your math?
40. Oh,
Who's your math teacher?
I don't. I'm not good at math. Okay.
Your math teacher fails.
For some reason, I have an A in algebra. I don't do anything.
Yeah, so she knew it was 40%. All right. So back to you. So, do you guys disagree? So, would you disagree? Because you see things different. You've got a different educational experience. And I noticed a lot of people do. There's no right or wrong, right? It's just what our experience is. What would your experience be of teachers who really need improvement to good teachers? What do you think the percentage is of teachers who really need improvement?
There are any teachers that really need improvement. Like, there's at least things that we can work on. It's not anything I would consider.
Okay.
So, honestly, I feel like students more often than not complain about problems that don't exist. So it's like, it just really depends on your perspective.
It sounds like you've got a great perspective, and it sounds like you're having a great experience, certainly better than mine. So did we land somewhere in the middle? Is that more like 50%, a little over 50%?
I was going to say, like, for, like, overall school years, the years I had, I would say also 40%, so yeah.
Hope High School, you are not off the hook. Who's the best educator at Hope High School? Although that's not really Flowers, right? Like,
all of a sudden, I forgot all of my classes. You don't have to name them. Maybe, like, name, just, like, talk about experience with one of your teachers that maybe pissed you off or made you feel okay.
When I can't make it to do a podcast, just hand Aria the mic.
Oh, no.
She's got the...
I forget that people are actually listening to my voice.
Yeah, sometimes I forget that, too.
And I just like to act like I'm at a sleepover.
Yeah. I try, but I just always remember that thing. Just look at us.
Man, so you're at Alvarez High School, where I have probably the most experience with Providence and this is not the opinion of Young Voices. This is not, I'm not putting any opinions on you, but I've had a bad experience over there, mostly because of the administrators make it really hard for good teachers to succeed. I can think of several teachers who were really, really good, and they were given the hardest time by the administrators. And it was interesting. It was curious. You would think that, why would they do that? But also other factors come into play. There were a couple of really good teachers there who are probably no longer there. So what am I missing? Who's really good? Mr. Pearson. I thought Mr. Pearson was pretty good. I liked Mr. Pearson when I was there. And I don't know if I could name so many more, like, really strong, good teachers.
Honestly, a lot of my classes are pretty good. I got lucky that way. My English teacher, Miss Mocha, I love her. She's from Japan. And
Mocha?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
what does she do well?
I don't know. She interacts, and, like, I always sit at her desk too with her.
Yep.
She's that fun to be with.
Okay.
And she like puts a lot of comedy while she teaches, and I think I also like that because it makes me pay attention more. I have an A in that class. So.
How does Miss Mocha, your Japanese teacher who teaches English, incorporate comedy into her class?
She just jokes around with us, which makes it fun, I guess.
Okay. Okay. So this question's for the group, and then wrapping out. Here's a group question. Let's Frankenstein design the perfect teacher. We're going to Frankenstein design the perfect teacher. What are their personality traits? What are their teaching styles? What do they look like? How old are they? What race are they? What gender are they? Feel free to take it away.
Okay, gender doesn't really matter to me. But yeah, gender doesn't really matter.
Do we agree? So gender is not a factor.
Gender is not a factor.
Okay.
Like, age also doesn't matter as long as they're not like about to.
Well,
you know,
one in three students.
Well, like super old.
One in three students agrees that age doesn't matter. I don't know.
As long as they're not old.
Okay. There was some pushback. Maybe do some of us feel like age does matter?
Yeah. Because our teacher, literally, everybody be calling him, and he.
What is that? He's
about to retire. Like, he's.
Yeah, this is his last year. He said that. But I'm saying, like, it does
a bit. It doesn't hear.
Yeah. It does not hear.
He literally was screaming at
every guy
still living here. Like,
oh yeah,
talk to him. He was looking at me, and he didn't respond.
That's crazy.
I was like, he's blind, so I'll be listening.
Is age a factor?
Yeah.
I feel like it could go either way.
That's so touchy.
Yeah.
The older you are, the more experience you have.
True.
whereas but when you're younger, you're more open to listening to your students.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, most of the older teachers, they don't really listen or try to engage with the students. They're just like, school, work.
This is too close, so let's put it this way. Would you rather have a teacher under 40 or over 40?
Under?
Wait, 40's too. Yeah, that's still really young.
Yeah, my computer hates her.
We're not talking about 40. We're talking about like 60.
Okay, so with 40, would you rather have a teacher under 40 or over 40?
I think like 40 is hard.
Yeah.
40, under 40, I don't really don't care, but it has to be like.
Over 60 or under 60?
Under 60.
Under
60. Under 50.
You just said it don't matter, but.
No, I said as long as they're not old. Old is 60.
Yeah.
Okay. It might teach you 66 or 67.
Okay.
So.
Bad. Do you feel like. So I love the point about them being able to bring in experience because they've seen so many things.
Yes. Yeah.
But also, do you feel like they could maybe relate to you less?
Yeah.
Okay. Heard. What about race? Is race a factor for educators?
Not really.
But we do need more POC educators.
That's true.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be a factor for a good teacher.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a factor.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a factor for a good teacher, but... It's a factor of having, like, a good community at school and, like, having your students, like, kind of feel seen or welcomed when they have other people like them in school or like them as a teacher, teacher.
I feel like we covered it. I'm not going to get into height. I don't... You know, unless
somebody, to be 10 feet.
Unless somebody just said like an older matters, I'll probably stay away from.
Wait, I want to talk about height though. Like, why is it always the short people, the short teachers that are the most like kind of strict?
Yeah. What do you mean? Is Mocha's so sweet and she's like my height?
So what that leaves for me then is what are they like? Your ideal teacher, your perfect teacher. If you closed your eyes and thought about it and says, this is my perfect teacher, this is what they're like, this is how they talk to me, treat me, teach me, can you give me two factors? That plans ahead is important. Okay. All right, that's a good note. Somebody who plans ahead has a plan and they're ready to go.
Engaging.
What does that mean?
Like, they just interact with the students well, I guess. Because a lot of them don't even try... And it's just, we're just sitting there doing nothing. Like in my algebra class, talk to us. We just,
if I have a lesson plan for today and we're going to talk about the Civil War and I just say all of these facts and geographical locations and I just basically read from the book, do you consider that engaging?
No.
You mentioned visual style being important to you and we in this room probably learn in different ways. For some of us, it's visual. For some of us, it's audible. So they'd actually succeed in a class like we just described.
Audible and visual. Maybe putting on a movie or something.
Some of us, it's putting our hands on things. So both. All right. So we've got engaging. We've got plans ahead. So strategy, planner. Give me one more thing.
Communicating.
Okay. How do they communicate?
Like, that's kind of what they're engaging.
Ooh, that's true. I feel like the good teachers, they always ask for feedback.
When you said communicate, did you have more to add? I didn't want to. When you said communicate, that made me think of temperament. What would their temperament be like?
Maybe like really calm. I don't know. Because a lot of teachers, when students start talking back, they just immediately, you're going to the office. You're bad. But never actually try to talk to the student and why they're like acting like that. Cause I've been noticing in school that some kids, like you could tell that they're going through stuff, but the teachers don't really want to like talk to them or like see that they're actually going through something and they're not just being really bad.
Connecting the dots, like connecting the things that you're learning to like all aspects of your lives, right? Cause like some of the things you're learning right now, you may not necessarily feel that it's like important, right? But to understand that like, hey, if I'm able to connect, if I'm able to see how this connects to life outside of my classroom, like that's important, right? I think to me, education is so challenging. But I think if we could just like foster, if somebody like a teacher can expand your curiosity, to me, that's the goal, is to be a lifelong learner.
Would you say making it relevant?
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask Yurissa in a second, right? I'm going to ask Yurissa to add one detail to the Frankenstein monster that we've created. And while I'm asking Yurissa, this is your opportunity to think of one more detail. Nobody has to, but if you can think of one more thing before we wrap up, I'll introduce our topic for next month, but I'd love to hear one more. Yurissa, what's one more detail that we should have in our Frankenstein monster educator?
I think someone who can, you know, you can be engaging, and also like to add on as like another layer to it. It's like you can know your students, right? Know where they're coming from and know what they're interested in, and then apply what that interest is to them. So like, I don't know how to describe it, but like being able to say like, hey, I know that Juliana loves, you know, finance and loves things around that. How do I engage that piece around her?
Do you know this is why it's not about the numbers? It's not about any of that stuff. This is why we've stuck with the podcast. I did it to teach a student who wanted to learn, but in doing it, I got to learn all of my students, and I can then figure out the engineering stuff that we're going to do based around their passions through the podcast. So I really appreciate that. Okay, do you guys have one more detail? I'll throw one more challenge out to you after that. Any last details for a teacher that's important to you? Last time we had a podcast on coming out. And again, that was a really important, like I thought that I felt privileged to be part of that discussion. And I thank some of you for sharing as much as you shared. So is it important to you that you have a teacher that you can talk to about things like that? Things that are even off the curriculum?
Yeah.
Because that might be outside of their job, but that's also something that's important. That's part of the understanding.
Yeah. Like at school, I was having a panic attack, and I literally just walked in and was like, can I stay in? And then she saw me. So she was like, yeah. And ran just around the corner.
Okay. Chuck D from a group that you was before your time, Public Enemy, he said, neither party is mine, not the jackass nor the elephant. You guys understand red, blue? Conservatives, progressives, all that stuff, right? If you had to pick for your teachers, that is there an important like affiliation? I'm being controversial right now. I'm just starting.
Oh, like are you Democrat or liberal?
Yeah, your teacher, right? Right. Well, that would be theoretically similar. So yeah, would they be more liberal or more conservative? In between, because you can learn from both. I'm getting from you because I'm picking up
most
on what you're putting down.
Most of my teachers are liberal.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're not really that conservative. There is a few teachers that are...
Okay. I was just wondering. It seemed like that was actually less important than some of the other things. I think age was one of the areas that surprisingly, and race didn't seem to matter, although representation's important, so we lean towards a race, but ultimately...
I feel like, well, for the conservative liberal thing, if they're, like enforcing it in their classroom and they're not history or any sort of that, and they keep on talking about it, that's where I draw the line, because even if they are liberal or conservative, shouldn't you talk about that in your classroom?
Teachers that I was talking about.
Oh.
They were saying stuff. Like they're like I just heard of it, but I think it was like a Trump versus Biden thing. And then I guess they favored the Trump ones more than that. And they're like, and they kept talking about, like,
I personally know a student in Providence High School.
My teacher too. I was like, oh.
Does that alienate you if you see Trump stuff?
Yeah.
That should.
Why? Because this speaks now to if we have a teacher who's like wears on their sleeve, not literally, but wears on their sleeve that they are maybe conservative. And that might scare some of us or make us feel alienated. I understand. Believe me, I understand. But my question is for you, why does that make us feel alienated?
I feel like because my school is mostly like there are people who are undocumented and just like a lot of Hispanics, like there's barely any white people. And so like I'd be like very
misdoors. Yeah, some of the politics kind of target our people, right? Like
the orange man.
Especially the orange man.
I have to explain it to my mom and how that affects her brother. She cares.
I appreciate this. Steambox is going to go into the lab. We're going to put in the DNA. We're going to find DNA from the right people, put it all in. We're going to mix it up. And then don't ask me how I'm getting their DNA. I'm going to, if they consent, I'll take their DNA by consent. If they don't, then, you know, I'm going to like scrape stuff off their cup after they use it. We are getting our perfect teacher. I'm going to make sure that happens next month. Thank you for last month. That was amazing. This month is helpful. People can learn from this. Next month, if you guys are working on advocacy and you guys are doing stuff at the State House and other groups here as well, next month we've got Jessica Vega coming in. She was city council president. She's a Dominican who was running stuff in Central Falls, and she has moved into the field of advocacy now, particularly for youth and particularly for mental wellness in education. She's from, it just escaped me, Rhode Island Kids Count. She's from Rhode Island Kids Count. She's going to be on the podcast next month. Are you guys ready for this? Are you guys going to have questions prepared? Did anybody, last question, I promise we got pizza for you. Did anybody have questions for Sabina prepared? Because Sabina flaked on us not once, but twice. Sabina Matos, you flaked on us twice.
If Trump goes on again on the presidency, I feel like he's going to still do the Israel stuff. Because some people are like, oh, I'm going to vote for Trump because he's probably not going to do the Israel.
You know that. That's what they
do. And he's going to do worse things than Biden, I think.
What is the U.S. doing to Israel?
They're giving our tax payers money to fund the Israel armies.
Are we giving them weapons too?
Yeah. That's what the money...
Do you think we're doing that because we hate Palestinians?
No, they just want Israel's trust. And like, I don't really understand, but...
It sounds like you do better than a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm on TikTok.
Better than a lot of people who share their opinion on social media. I just heard more facts from you than some of those people.
I didn't see why they're giving our money to them, but it's probably because they want to be on Israel's good side. If not, it most likely is that because Biden was like
a slacker. He just like, you know how what he did with Ukraine. He just told the people to go and hurt Ukraine. They even like try to stop them, even though we were on good terms with Ukraine.
Biden told who to hurt?
I forgot who. I don't remember. But he's like, oh, we're not going to protect Ukraine because we're friends with, like, basically. So U.S. is friends with Ukraine. If anything happens to Ukraine, we're supposed to actually go, like, help them and like maybe like go to war, but not really go to war.
Do you think we should?
We should have. But he didn't. And probably Ukraine is not going to be our friend no more. After, I'm pretty sure this stuff is still going
on. Do you think we should lend military support to Palestine?
Yeah. But obviously they're not going to do that.
There's so much stuff.
We need to get the old people out. They're on their deathbeds. I've seen at least maybe 1,000 GoFundMes about families trying to come to America. There's some people who went to Gaza, to Palestine, for vacation just to be with their family, and they just died. There's a lot of people who are not unrecognized, their deaths, like they don't know who died. A lot of people probably think that their relatives are dead, but they don't know because they're just putting all of they did you know like they're like digging little holes, not little holes, like big holes, and dumping thousands of bodies in there.
Mass graves.
Yeah, just mass graves, and they're just covering it with a sheet of things. They're just wiping out Palestine, like, as a whole.
It seems like a bunch of you agreed that we should support Ukraine in the war by fighting alongside them. And Palestine, So my question for you is, like, at what point should we just not fight wars?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, I don't know even know why we're having wars. Why are we having wars? Because, does anybody know what happened to Ukraine and why people are dying there because of those wars? Or
they're independent. They're independent from Russia. It used to be one big.
Oh, okay. But, like, it's just like, leave them be.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I hear you. But what Adi and everybody else is celebrating today is, you guys, congratulations. You survived the earthquake.
I didn't even feel it. I was watching
Home Blocks. Yes. I didn't feel it.
I felt it. You survived the eclipse of 2024 so far.
Bro, did you see all of the conspiracy theories?
Yes.
The world is at this.
My seat. Legit thought we didn't want that.
Sacrifice. What are you off?
It's like, this is going. Jesus is going to, you know.
My grandma made me stay home because she swore something was going to happen.
Yeah.
I was like, the opposite too. She's like, I have a bad feeling. You guys are going to stay.
Like, I just found out about the eclipse. Aren't you like 40 years old?
Did any of you look at it with your eyeballs?
No, but me and my sister saw like the light going down. You're like,
oh, I saw it through the curtain. Oh, I'm not gonna lie.
That's
with your eyeball.
Well, you can look at it at a certain place where it like starts to pass. You can look at it, but then you have to put your glasses
on. All right, you're gonna have to teach me all about that. All right, next month we're back with Jessica Vega, Young Voices. This has been Steambox versus Young Voices. Please get your energy together and say peace out to the world.
Peace out.